Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you an apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Hey.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guest is Jeff St. John. He is the owner of Dutch and Dewey Distillery and Rockies Ridge Vineyard. How did you come to Humboldt County, Jeff?
Well, working in Silicon Valley, I'm a metallurgist, and I spent a lot of time in clean rooms doing process control and that sort of thing. And I got to a point where I wanted to get my hands dirty because I grew up farming, and it really grinds on me to always be so clean. So at the time, we lived in the Santa Cruz Mountains, and I decided to plant something just to, you know, do a little bit of farm work. And that was grapes, because wine grapes were the only thing you could really plant that had enough value that it made it worth planting them. So I started off really just planting a couple of rows of Cabernet that I got from clippings from a neighbor. And the next thing I knew, I had a 4-acre vineyard with fencing and underground irrigation. And so living down there, the climate is hot enough that you can't really grow my favorite grape, which is Pinot Noir, and have it turn out to make a good flavor. So we started looking for a place where the climate was significantly cooler than there. And by looking at climate maps and data from different places like Willow Creek and Eureka, it turned out that that valley of Redwood Creek looked like a really good place that was kind of in between the two. So it's turned out to be a good place to grow our Pinot.
Sounds like you've got really a natural green thumb. Where did you grow up that you were a farmer?
Southwestern Pennsylvania was where I grew up. My picture on the label of the Dutch and Dewey products is actually my grandfather, and that's on the farm that I grew up on in Pennsylvania. And my mother and my sister still live there on that piece of land.
And who are Dutch and Dewey?
Well, in the picture, you'll see two horses pulling a plow, and the one in front is Dewey, and the one that's standing in the furrow is a very much bigger horse called Dutch.
That's just such a nice connection to your family in your label.
And now we have the wine label for the Pinot Noir products, and that is called Rockies Ridge Vineyard, because Rocky is one of the horses I have now. And then I also have Rocky's two little sisters who are doing work for me now. We're going to be planting some grain this fall, you know, using them for the labor.
Oh, okay. So one of the inspirations for your farm and your vineyards is your grandfather's roots in eastern Pennsylvania. Why did his lifestyle inspire you?
One of the things that really inspires me about that period of time was that to run a farm, you had to have all of the products and processes integrated, because there wasn't chemical fertilizers and there weren't pesticides and herbicides and all the things that people use as crutches now. In that part of the territory, people didn't even have irrigation capabilities because electric pumps and electricity weren't even there yet. So one of the things I've always studied all my life was remembering things he taught me when I was a little kid and trying to put it together as, how did that farm run where the animals' waste fed the plants and the plants' waste fed the animals? Or the plants' good parts even fed the animals, but then both of them fed the people as well. And having that be integrated so that over time you don't degrade the land and lose your ability to stay there. And one of the things he used to tell me when I was young was, when you're a farmer, you're married to the land. The only way you can continue to survive is to take care of it as well.
That's a good philosophy about keeping your land healthy, not just taking from it. Now, the water that you use, I mean, a distillery uses a lot of water. How do you deal with that? You're at 3,000-foot elevation. How do you gather enough water to run your business?
When we built the winery building, we put on it called a standing seam steel roof, which has a food-grade paint. And what we do is, the amount of square footage we have there will produce about 150,000 gallons of captured rainwater per year. So we just run it from the roof and collect it into a screen, basically. And then it runs down underground to a 50,000-gallon tank where we store it. And then when the vineyard needs irrigation or whatever, we use that water. But the water is actually clean enough that we pretty much just drink it all the time, too, because it, you know, rainwater is so pure, there's no minerals in it at all, that even with a water softener, you can't make water taste as good.
I don't know that I've ever drank rainwater.
some people frown on it, counties and cities and stuff, because you can get contamination in it easily. And if you catch it on a roof that's made out of composite shingles, then you can get tar and other things in it. But that's why
that may be why I haven't drank any rainwater.
But it's an excellent way to do it because we're not using any of the water table. We're not capturing anything out of streams or the rivers or taking anything away from the fish, especially in the dry period of the year.
Now, the power to run your distillery, where do you get the power to run it?
Well, we are off the grid, and we have a solar panel bank on the top of the house, but we also have a micro hydroelectric system. The water that powers the hydroelectric basically goes down a long pipe and gains enough pressure to, you know, make power for us in the wintertime. It doesn't run in the summer, and then all that water is just returned to the stream, so we don't use any of that water for any other purpose. Then the third thing is for cooling water in a distillery. Instead of using city water like most places probably do, we actually use it out of the 50,000-gallon tank, and then I put in a geothermal underground long pipeline that you circulate the water through, and it brings it down to about 59 degrees, which is perfect for cooling the stills, and then return it to the tank. So we don't really use any water for the process operations.
So the heat is dissipated through the earth?
Yes.
Oh, that's interesting. Now, you distill several different types of beverages, and you do this because you have kind of a science background. That's kind of how you got involved in this, isn't it?
Yes, it is. When I was working in industry, we did a lot of different types of distillations. One of those that nobody probably knows about, but in your disk drive, the liquid that's used to lubricate the disk and head interface is distilled very specially for each kind of product. Another thing that's really different was when I lived in Oregon, we started a company where we were using zinc to recapture tungsten carbide parts. And while we were doing that, part of the process was distilling the zinc back out of the process and recollecting it for reuse.
Oh, that's nice, because all those computers are ending up in the landfill and all those metals are still in them, a lot of them.
Yeah, and if you can reclaim them, it's a lot cheaper than making all new parts.
Uh-huh. Definitely. So let's talk about some of the beverages that you distill. One of them is Horse Mountain Dry Gin. What makes a beverage a gin?
There's a lot of different classes of gin. Historically, gin goes back to Holland a long time ago, back in the probably 600 years ago. And it's actually the precursor to whiskey, like scotches and the other types of whiskeys that people make now. The original gin was called Genever. And in Geneva, it was a composite of a neutral alcohol, which is kind of like our vodka today. And then the other half of it would be what they called a malt wine. So they would use grains to make something that we would just call like white whiskey now.
Uh-huh.
So by spicing the neutral alcohol and then mixing it with the malt wine, they came up with a combination that was the original gin. And then gin changed a lot over all the years between going down to the Prohibition era when people made it in their bathtub just so they could take alcohol that was undrinkable and make it something you could swallow.
So, and how did juniper berries get involved in making gin?
That one I don't know, but it's part of the definition of gin is that it has to have a strong signature of juniper.
That's just such an odd botanical to me to add to a beverage because it's so pungent, it's so almost piney tasting to me that somebody thought, oh, this will be good in there. Well, I'd like to learn more about making gin and what goes into making the gin and some of the other products that you make. So let's come back next time and talk some more about that. This is Jennifer Bell, and I've been talking with Jeff St. John, owner of Dutch and Dewey Distillery and Rockies Ridge Vineyard. Thank you so much, Jeff.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Grapes and the cakes, hey, come on to my house, come on.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.